That's pretty funny.
That's all right.
Okay, we're live.
We're good?
Okay.
Good afternoon. We are the January meeting of the New York State Racing and Wagering Board in Schenectady, New York. I'm joined, as always, by my colleagues Daniel Hogan and Charles Diamond. As is our custom, we will now ask for, I'll ask the secretary to call the meeting to order.
Call the meeting at 1:03.
As is our custom, any public comment can be offered now at the microphone provided. Hearing none, I have one housekeeping announcement since our last meeting. The New York State Franchise Oversight Board has asked the Racing Wagering Board to investigate some account wagering practices at the New York Racing Association. We have an investigation. We don't comment on our ongoing investigations, but that has commenced. After that announcement, I will ask the Secretary to call the agenda.
Chairman, I also wanted to let you know that we received email comments from Jackson Leeds, and they'll be attached to the minutes meeting.
Thank you.
Capital District Regional HB request for an extension to file quarterly reports in 2012.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. To approve the minutes of the meeting.
Minutes of the December meeting of 2011 are in front of the board members. Any comments, questions, additions, corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
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 Minutes are approved.
Items previously approved or deferred by the chair. There was 57 this month. Any discussion or questions? Items previously approved or denied or deferred by the board. There are 3 this month. And items we approved, denied, deferred by the board today, there's 18. And the first matter is Capital District Regional OTB request for extension to file quarterly reports in 2012.
Madam Secretary, I'd ask if we could call the 5 items together since they're essentially the same item from 5 different licensees. Correct, Mr. Casaragola?
That's correct, Chairman.
So if we could call the item, why you announce all 5 items.
Okay. The second is Western Regional OTB request for extension of quarterly reports. Capital OTB, Nassau, and Suffolk Regional OTB.
Okay. Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. The 5 regional off-track betting corporations have submitted a request to file their quarterly reports for 2012 with extensions for the first 3 quarters of 30 days and a 45-day extension for the 4th quarter. This is provided for under the racing law for the OTBs to request for such an extension and is in the same format and time frame as was done last year. The additional time is needed for the OTBs to have sufficient time to put together an accurate report to submit to the board. The current statute with absent any application for extension is only 15 days after the close of the quarter and additional time is needed. So therefore staff is recommended.
With a staff recommendation of acceptance, any questions or comments from members of the board on these 5 requests from the regional OTBs? Hearing none, I'll ask that we would vote on these as a coupled group of 5. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye,
aye, aye, aye, aye, aye.
Item is approved. All 5 items approved. Next item.
NYRA 2012 racing officials.
The racing officials were before the board last month. On the last month's agenda, there were several officials in which we recommended a temporary approval while we were able to continue our limited suitability review. Since that time, staff has completed a review of Dr. Leslie Karchek and is recommending approval. Staff is still awaiting further information regarding one of the other applicants, Ms. Connor, And we have received notification that the third applicant, Trinity Nemeti, is no longer working for NYRA and is therefore requested that individual be removed as a racing official, to be removed as a racing official with NYRA. Therefore, staff is recommending approval for Dr. Leslie Karczak for the year. Then Diane Connor received a temporary approval until for February, where we complete our review, and that Trinity Nemeti be removed as a consideration for
Diane Connor is a Category 2, is that recall, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, Mr. Hogan.
Did she eventually get back to you with the information you were seeking on the 13th?
I'm sorry, Ms. Connor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that there's some follow-up, continue to be some follow-up on some information. It's not that sometimes some of these reviews sometimes take some time to complete. So it, hopefully we'll be able to complete it by the next month.
Okay.
Meeting.
Other questions or comments?
I just have a,
Mr. Diamond.
I noticed that Neil Catrone and Timothy Kelly are alternate stewards for NYRA and that they have been accredited.
Yes. Other questions or comments? Mr. Firestand.
I don't recall a situation previously where an individual for where an individual who had been listed as a racing official was no longer employed as a racing official, although continuing to be employed. So I would just suggest that that the board discontinue the approval for Ms. Nemeti to reflect the...
Do we know what his new position is?
No, but it's not as a racing official and therefore would not require board approval.
So you would want to what? Amend this to...
Simply request the board's approval to send a communication to NYRA that any prior approval for this year for that individual is discontinued. Just so that the loop can be closed.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll take up the NYRA 2012 racing officials that are remaining. All those in favor of the item with the proviso that council will write a letter to NYRA saying that Ms. Nemeti is, her approval is no longer valid for the rest of 2012, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Western Regional OTB, New Easy Bet, the Gate.
Excuse me, before we go on, we're only really approving Karczak, right? We're still holding over Connor for another month, correct?
Yes.
For another month,
That's correct.
Thank you.
Western Regional OTB, New Easy Bet, the Gates Pub, Rochester.
Mr. Casaragola.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an application from Western Off-Track Betting Corporation to open an Easy Bet in Rochester at a location known as Gates Pub. Staff performed a limited suitability review on the applicant and its principal. There were several items that were reviewed, including, of course, the tax returns, the application, criminal history, and other various public documents. Staff did note that there was an open obligation of past due taxes in which the applicant is under a payment agreement with the Department of Tax and Finance. That is the only outstanding current item for the applicant. With that said, staff recommends, should the board approve this application, that the standard conditions of approval be applied to this OTB as Easy Bet, as with other Easy Bet locations, and that in addition, that the applicant be required to report to Western Regional Off-Track Betting that is in compliance with its payment obligations to the state. At least annually, if not biannually.
Questions or comments on the Gates Pub Easy Bet application?
Tom, in a case like that, say he did stop making his payments and we, you know, asked for the one-year thing like this. Isn't there some way that the tax department would, you know, don't they know where the licensees of these things are? Do they ever notify us of that?
No. It would be incumbent on us to get the information either from the applicant or Western if that were to occur. State tax would notify us typically of that happening, and they might not be aware that he even has an easy bet location.
I feel more comfortable with every 6 months, sir. Just until we know. I mean, I don't know how long that thing lasts, but...
It'll probably, it looks like it would probably go for at least a 2 year period, the payment plan.
I'm good.
You want to require a 6 month report?
I just want them in 6 months, the OTB, to tell us that he's in compliance with his tax payments. Okay. Instead of waiting a year.
So we would ask Western then to check with him, I guess.
The requirement would be that that Western has to communicate every 6 months
to us
with the applicant and then provide a certification or notice to the board of the result of that.
Until such times as things expired. Or
so we're going with the 6 months. Mm-hmm. So it's expected that Western Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation will arrange for a 6 month inspection to assure compliance with the plan of operation.
We'll grant the application.
Well, we'll grant operation, relevant laws and board rules to certify that, you know, everything else that we're asking for.
This would be a condition.
Right. It's a conditional approval that the applicant, that Western OTB contact the applicant on a biennial basis to determine their compliance with their tax payment schedule. Mm-hmm. Can we prepare such a letter?
Yes, of course. Right.
Okay. Okay. So with that condition, we'll then, if there are no other questions or comments, vote on the Western Regional OTB Easy Bet location, the Gates Pub, Rochester. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Western Regional OTB, New Easy Bet, Firehouse Saloon, Rochester.
Okay. This is another request from Western OTB for an Easy Bet location. Another location in Rochester at the Firehouse Saloon. Staff performed a limited suitability review of this applicant and the principals. The report is on file before the board. There was no derogatory information that was identified during the review. Therefore, staff is recommending the board approve this request for an Easy Bet location by Western OTB with the standard conditions for Easy Bets.
I'll note for the board that both this applicant and the prior applicant are within the area of hegemony around Finger Lakes Racetrack and has received the appropriate approvals from Finger Lakes.
That's correct.
Questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the Western Regional OTB Easy Bet location, Firehouse Saloon, Rochester. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
New York State Taxation and Finance Certification of Year 2011 Racing Dates Races for Tax Rate Purposes.
Mr. Cassarogola.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a matter that comes before the board every year to allow to tracks be eligible for lower parimutuel tax rates. In order for that to occur, the board is to approve the schedule or certify to the Department of Tax and Finance no later than January 31 of the following year that each track met the minimum required race dates as required under statute. And that if it had failed to meet the minimum race dates, that it did so because of factors beyond its control, and that the board found it was uneconomical or impractical to do so. In 2011, the following tracks did conduct a minimum number of race dates without any necessity for the board to excuse compliance. Those are Yonkers, Monticello, Saratoga, and Finger Lakes. In 2011, Batavia, Buffalo, and Vernon were unable to meet the minimum race dates provided for in the statute, but it was determined that it was uneconomical and impractical for them to do so. Therefore, the entities meet the classification as complied with the statute to meet the minimum number of race dates. The staff recommends that the board certify the Department of Taxation and Finance as such requirement has met for all the above-named tracks.
Questions or comments on the filing with state taxation finance on race dates and tax rates?
This is basically just the post-calendar year look-back period, there's a requirement for the certification when the dates are fully assigned to each track, the prospective certification, if you will, and this is the look-back certification for the concluded calendar year.
Questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move the item, New York State Taxation and Finance Certification for 2011 for race dates and tax rates. All those in favor?
Aye.
That annual exercise is complete. Next item.
Monticello Raceway, request to withdraw $192,399.04 from SIF.
Mr. Cassarigola.
Thank you, Chairman. Monticello requested to approve the above-mentioned amount from their capital improvement fund. Included in this request for reimbursement are two emergency requests, one being for backup a sander or salt spreader for $8,905.95, and the second being the purchase of a used backhoe for $42,444. Both the items are supported, along with the other items that have also budgeted for, with the submission. The emergency reimbursement request form is also included, describing the necessity of the two items that were not included in their budget. Staff did an inspection of all of the items and photographed them and found them to be properly supported. There is approximately a little over $240,000 in the capital investment fund at the track at the end of December 31, 2011. Recommendation of the amount. Staff recommends the amount be approved.
Questions or comments on the SIF withdrawal at Monticello?
Have we scheduled the SIF inspection yet?
No, we're in the process of receiving their budget for 2012 and some of the other year-end filings regarding the requirements of the capital improvement fund, and ensure they met the requirements. Once we have all that information and we do a preliminary review, we should be scheduling the walk.
Count me in.
Other questions or comments? Hearing none, we will vote on the SIF withdrawal of $192,399.04 from the Monticello Raceway Capital Improvement Fund. All those in favor?
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Saratoga Harness requests to amend account labeling plan of operation, relocate service.
Mr. Cassarigola.
Thank you, Chairman. Saratoga Raceway has requested approval to amend its internet and account wagering plan of operation to relocate its telephone servers at the newly opened Amherst call center in New York. The servers are currently located in Saratoga Springs at the racing facility. They process and validate the telephone wagers. When the internet and account wagering plan of operation was originally approved by the board required that the servers were to be located within New York State to ensure that the wagers were accepted and received within the state of New York. At the time of the original approval, you may recall that the call center Saratoga was using was located in Oregon. In December of 2011, the call center was, again, as you know, relocated to Amherst. Therefore, Saratoga is requesting that the servers be allowed to be moved to the Amherst Center, still obviously within New York, for ease of, I guess, operation of the system. Staff recommends approval of this request.
Questions or comments on Saratoga Harness amending their account wagering plan of operation? This is part of, they will be using a sharing facility or using this contracting with the same facility at the NYRA does in Amherst, New York, as part of the governor's effort to ensure that jobs stay in New York, which is commendable and working. Questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of Saratoga Harness request to amend account wagering plan of operation, relocating servers, say aye.
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Notice of adoption, cell phone in the Paddock area, Harness Racing.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This is the first of a group of rule matters that will be before the board this afternoon. This matter is before the board with or recommended adoption of a amendment to the harness racing rules concerning the use of cell phones and other electronic communication devices in the paddock area of the tracks. This rule was sought by the harness horsemen in New York in order to accommodate the protracted period in which some horsemen are in the paddock area and the need to communicate for business and other reasons, legitimate reasons, from the paddock area and remove them from the somewhat restrictive prohibitions that existed in the non-cell telephone and electronic communication device era. So as a result, this is before the board for adoption of a new rule, 4104.14, governing the use of those devices. And basically, the paddock judge at each harness track would designate a specific area that could be used for cell telephone and other electronic communication use. There'd be a sign identifying that area as well as a sign indicating that the use is restricted other than in that designated area. The tracks would retain individual business discretion to have a more restrictive policy if desired. And the other thing about this rule that the board should be aware of is that this rule has a one-year sunset provision after an effective date. This way it's adopted, if you will, or could be adopted as an experiment to see whether there are any problems in terms of the implementation or potential abuse here. Staff recommends that the board adopt this with a 45-day effective date provision so that the rule would be effective 45 days after publication in the State Register, which would bring us to approximately mid-April. That will provide sufficient time following adoption for the acquisition of the necessary signage as well as the necessary communications and identification of the locations for use.
A little history and background here. Cell phone use in the thoroughbred paddock has been legal, but not in the harness or standardbred paddock. That reasoning had always been that the thoroughbred paddock was open and visible to the public. Of course, that would involve everyone being a lip reader, because the paddock and the thoroughbred track isn't, you know, you go to a place like Saratoga, you're not exactly in earshot of people and, using their cell phones. That's number one. And number two, it's an admission that in 2012, especially when our standardbred tracks rely on horsemen who may have four, five, six horses in a race and have to spend the entire evening in the paddock, that they might have issues that they need to tend to by telephone. I had extensive conversations with Ray Schnitke about this. I think its time has come. As Mr. Firestein has indicated, we'll have a 45-day period so that officials from our office, presiding judges, and track management can meet to determine where we would have these spaces in the harness paddock. Because it is, you know, basically closed off from the rest of the public, but that there's a actual sort of a plant and equipment matter of determining where these things will be. Any questions or comments from the board members? Mr. Hogan.
My personal opinion is there's too many cell phones in the world as it is right now, and I would kind of wonder how back in the 70s, when they used to get, you know, hundreds of thousands of people going to harness tracks, they managed to get by without cell phones. That being said, because we're talking about a one-year experiment, I will vote yes. I've told, you know, talked to a number of the horsemen about this over the year, but to me this is, you know, I don't think it's a good idea. I just think that there's just too much you can do with the phone right now. It's just not positive for the sport, and we talk about integrity all the time, and we're basically letting somebody, I mean, you can take in an iPhone now. You can take videos, you can take pictures of anything, you can send anything you want to. And, you know, there's already, I'll stop my rant, but I just,
really don't believe that this should have been the priority, that everybody made this out to be the priority. I don't know. How did our forefathers do it back in the old days of the paddock? You know, I mean, it's just, I'm done with my rant.
I'll remind my colleagues that the public was prohibited from having cell phones at the track not too long ago, and we seem to be doing okay with them now. So I think it's the reality of technology in 2012. Any other comments or questions? We'll move the item then. Rulemaking item, notice of adoption, cell phones, and paddock area harness racing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Can you at least ban texting while driving on the harness track?
Notice of adoption, alcohol BAC testing rule in thoroughbred racing and revisions to the BAC testing rule in harness racing.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This matter is before the board for adoption. This involves amendments to the harness racing existing alcohol testing rule and the adoption for the first time of an alcohol testing rule for thoroughbred racing. Basically what this rule will do is to provide in thoroughbred racing for mandatory testing each day of jockeys before they race, and discretionary testing of other individuals is authorized by the rule as it exists in an authorized form in the harness rule today. As a practical matter, in harness racing, pretty much the drivers are the ones who are tested when they enter the paddock and before they drive. And in thoroughbred racing, it's contemplated that barring unforeseen circumstances, the jockeys will be the ones who are tested. The rule provides that it's the track's obligation to provide a device approved by the board at a location designated by the state steward or designee. The device that to be approved must have been approved and be on the list of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and the use of the device shall be under the supervision of board officials, and the tests are to be conducted by board employees who are qualified, i.e. have been trained in the use of the machine. As exists in the current harness racing rule, the presence of 0.05% or more alcohol in the blood by weight per volume shall constitute alcoholic impairment. There are provisions as to the consequences for a positive, if you will, test with the alcohol measurement. A jockey who is alcoholically impaired as defined or who refuses to be tested cannot compete on that date and can be fined or suspended. An official, should the official be tested, who is alcoholically impaired or refuses, shall not be assigned to work on that date, and any other licensee would be subject to the full range of penalties, including fine, revocation, suspension, or continuing participation being conditioned upon enrollment and completion of a state-certified treatment program. The harness rule would be amended to incorporate the fact that the machine will now be required to meet the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration standards and be on the approved list, and include some supplemental language which conforms with basically with existing practice that that it's administered by qualified individuals at a location designated by the board staff, and provides with a little more specificity what the potential penalties are, although those penalties already apply pursuant to other board rules, even though they're not currently in the alcohol testing rule for harness racing. This rule had a somewhat long gestation period, if you will, and there was pre-industry comment, and there was an amendment to include the words "or more" to clarify that it's 0.05% or more, even though that was generally implied or believed to be implied. There was one comment received during the public comment period from the Empire State Horsemen's Alliance. That comment raised the question of the or more, although the board had amended the proposed rule to include it, and it goes on to discuss for the which is before you in the package, various concerns that the board will be testing non-participating people present in the paddock, and this is more of a social welfare program than a program concerned with the integrity or the conduct of horse racing. Those are addressed in the draft analysis that's included in your package. Staff recommends the adoption of these rules in the format that they are presented, with a suggested effective date of April 27th of this year. That date is selected for two reasons. One, there needs to be a sufficient lead-up time. This will be approximately 3 months for the tracks to identify and acquire the necessary equipment for Racing Wagering Board staff to be trained, and for all of the other various logistics to be worked out. And that date, although it may seem like an arbitrary date, coincides with the opening of the projected opening of the Belmont Park meet, and so that date was selected.
At the outset, let me thank my colleague Charles Diamond for his work on this and his pushing this down the track. It's been as was indicated by council, it's had a long gestation period. It's been a practice at NYRA, but now it will be a rule at both NYRA and Finger Lakes. I think it's a step toward integrity and also safety, and a good idea. Questions or comments?
I'm also Mr. enthusiastically Hogan. In support of this, and I also want to thank Member Diamond for his work on it and enthusiastically supported this.
I have a question, Bob. As far as notifying the operators or the tracks, do we have a time frame for getting letters out indicating when they should plan on holding classes to certify, or
our internal time warning
certified, right?
The staff has met, and we've come up with the beginning of an internal timeline. It's our expectation that by next Friday, that the necessary board staff will communicate with each of the racing operators in the state, both harness and thoroughbred, to inform them of various requirements relating to this and what needs to be acquired, and to establish what I believe will be a February 29th close of business date by which those operators must notify the board of the machines that they will be using that meet the requirements of this. And from there, the necessary training program will take place. Of course, there'll be communication with the Jockeys Guild and the jockeys, and discussion of where these tests will be conducted and factors like that. The council's office will be developing necessary forms and protocols to deal with the results of the tests and to assure, if you will, a continuity and maintenance of records in the event that there are positive, if you will, tests for this.
Mr. Hogan.
Bob, who's going to, for our part here centrally, who's going to coordinate with all of our racing officials? Is that going to be through the director of racing officials?
It's a combination of the director of racing office. Officials and also Ellen Hall, who functions, okay. Has functioned to date, certainly, with regard to controlled substance abuse and alcoholism issues and so on. So it's going to be a somewhat concerted effort, but for the most part, the director of racing officials will have the primary responsibility.
Thank you.
Other questions or comments? Hearing none, I will now move the alcohol BAC testing rule in thoroughbred racing and revision to the BAC testing rule in harness racing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item is approved. Next item.
Notice of adoption amendment of riding crop diameter rule.
Firestein.
This is a technical correction to previously adopted rules before the board for adoption, and this rule, if adopted in its current form, will correct an erroneous reference in Rule 4035.9 regarding the minimum permit, the minimum diameter of a riding crop, and it should read 3/8 of an inch, which is what this rule will read if the board adopts this. It currently reads half an inch. As a practical matter, the existing crops that are being used conform to the technical amendment that's being made here. There were no comments received during the public comment period, and staff recommends approval.
I want to thank Rick Goodell from our legal staff, who is the arbiter of all things riding crop, for his help on this. Questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, all those in favor of amending the thoroughbred riding crop, I'm sorry, the riding crop diameter rule, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Before we go to the next item, let me also thank for the record on the alcohol BAC rule, staff of the Racing Commissioners International who responded with some to a research request made by our executive director, Ron Okram, to provide us with comparisons with other racing jurisdictions in the United States and Canada. Next item.
Notice of adoption, amendment of thoroughbred trifecta rule.
Mr. Firestein.
This is another amendment before the board for adoption today. The proposed amendment, which was published in the State Register, during which period no comments were received, would amend Rule 4011.22, little I, of the board's thoroughbred racing rules with regard to the minimum number of betting interests in trifecta races. Under the existing rule, trifecta wagering must be canceled when there are less than six betting interests, except in certain specified instances. This amendment would preserve trifecta wagering with the minimum field of five betting interests in all races. There would be no provision in the event of a scratch, a late scratch, or anything like that. As was reflected in the publication in the State Register, this rule request was initiated by the New York Racing Association. It would, of course, be in effect as well at the Finger Lakes Racetrack, and the New York Racing Association had provided some projected financial analysis indicating a positive revenue stream from this change with the preservation of races that would otherwise be lost in terms of the trifecta. And this amendment also, as indicated in the proposed rulemaking, would be consistent with the minimum entry requirements of a number of other racing jurisdictions. So staff recommends the adoption of this rule, which would become effective upon publication in the State Register in approximately 3 weeks.
Questions or comments on the thoroughbred trifecta rule proposal? Hearing none. Move the item. All those in favor of the amendment to thoroughbred trifecta rules, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
Notice of adoption, amendment of OTB rules, governmental auditing standards.
Mr. Firestein.
Thank you. This rule has also had a long period of time before it has come to the board for final adoption today. There are a number of rule changes here that are for board consideration. The principal one would be to incorporate the requirement of governmental auditing standards into the board's rules and regulations for the off-track betting corporations. It's my understanding that all, if not that almost all, if not all, of the corporations have already incorporated those standards and may be actually be required under the public authorities law to have done so. But this will bring the board's rules in this regard into more into the modern age, and also make this a formal requirement in the event there were any questions about whether it had any continuity or anyone wanted to remove themselves from the scope of it. There are other rule changes that are here. Some of them, they involve the requirement of the annual report of the OTB corporations. There's a insertion of a time period, but there's also a breath of life into the rule that reflects the current requirements as opposed to those that may have existed 30 years ago. There's a technical correction to the quarterly report so that it reflects what the statute provides about the 15 days. And there's a relaxation of the requirement that the quarterly report be signed by two corporation officers and changed to one. And then with regard to Rule 5208.5, in terms of other reports, instead of some of the other reports that were listed there and were no doubt well thought out 30 years ago, there's a substitution of things that are more reflective of the current racing environment and requirements. So there were no comments received during the public comment period on this, and staff recommends approval of the notice of adoption.
Questions or comments on the item? Hearing none, we'll vote on the amendment of OTB rules for governmental auditing standards. All those in favor?
Aye.
Before we go on to our adjudications, let me thank Mark Stewart of our legal division for his help in the prior bunch of items. Next item.
In the matter of Donald McLean.
Mr. Firestein.
This is the first of the two adjudicatory matters before the board today. In this matter, the Donald McLean matter, Mr. McLean appealed from the decision of the Division of Licensing to deny his application for a license to participate in harness racing as an owner, trainer, driver. The refusal was based upon a finding that as a result of criminal and other history, that Mr. McLean's character and fitness is such that his participation in racing would be inconsistent with the public interest, convenience, or necessity, or with the best interests of racing generally. There was a hearing held before Mr. Parente as the designated hearing officer. Mr. Parente submitted the report that the board has before it together with the record. It's the hearing officer's recommendation that the license refusal be upheld, but that any new application be acted upon favorably, provided certain preconditions specified by the hearing officer are satisfied.
And the precondition involves probationary activity, correct?
The precondition is successful completion of probation and no further negative or derogatory information be received.
And the completion date on that would be?
I think it's almost here if it's not. I'm sorry, just give me a second here. It apparently has terminated in the latter part of last year.
That makes sense. Ellen, is that your knowledge?
Yes, he provided a document to us that shows that he got his probation ended early, and it's dated October 19th, 2011.
So, basically, if we accept this as the hearing officer has ruled, that in effect, if he reapplies now and we find out nothing else, his appeal will be denied, but he will get a license, correct?
Yes, with the caveat of needing to verify when the license cycle ended that was affected by this application.
Right, okay.
If, in fact, it ended on date of birth in December of 2011, then the coast is clear, if you will. If it incorporated multiple years, then that's a different factor that will have to be considered.
Questions or comments on the McQueen case? I'm going to move the item. All those in favor of supporting the hearing officer's recommendation on the matter of Donald McQueen, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Item is approved. Next item.
In the matter of Diane C. Bossman.
Mr. Firestein.
This is an appeal by the thoroughbred trainer Diane Balsamo from the $500 fine imposed by the state steward, which was predicated on a finding of improper conduct during an incident at Belmont Park on March 13th of 2011. There was a hearing conducted before designated hearing officer Parenti. Mr. Parenti recommends that the violation and the fine be upheld. The board has before it the hearing officer report together with the record of the proceeding.
Questions or comments on the Balsamo case?
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman. I read the hearing report, and it's a disturbing incident. It could have had serious... It's a serious violation that could have compromised the chain of custody regarding our out-of-competition drug testing that day. We have the authority to fine up to but not to exceed $5,000, and I understand that the fine is $500, and I'll agree with that. And I hope that Ms. Balsamo has learned a very valuable lesson, and if this were to occur again, or if we see... If I see your case anyway again in front of me, I would consider a very stiff and heavy fine. But I'll agree with the recommendations of Mr. Perrini.
I agree with you, Mr. Diamond. The her conduct in this matter could have severely jeopardized the integrity of what was going on that day, and... I see no reason to grant overturn the hearing officer on this. Other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the hearing officer's ruling on the matter of Ms. Balsamo, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Item is approved.
This is items for board information discussion number 7. And follow-up items previously approved was 1. And I'll adjourn the meeting at 1:50.
Go Giants!
Yeah.
Go Bills.
Go on the
They win.
Jesus.